will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you are God. Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Know His power in quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you are God. Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Know His power in quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you.
Let's all stand.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
Is that your desire tonight? Good to be in the house of the Lord with you all. And we just want to say welcome to our visitor. I don't know if you've been here before, but we certainly welcome you. And I'm going to read tonight from scripture in Revelation chapter 4. We sure enjoyed the weekend services.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That was a powerful set of messages.
Amen.
I'm just going to take a little topic up tonight. One sat on the throne and take a few scriptures from the book of Revelation.
Amen.
Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together around your word tonight, Lord Jesus. And Lord, tonight I know that, you know, I've got many opinions and many thoughts about a lot of different things, Lord, but you know, everybody's got thoughts about politics and government and things at work and things in home life and all those kind of things, Lord. But I ask, Lord, if you just let me lay all those things aside tonight. The people have come tonight, Lord Jesus, not to hear about my opinions and things, but they've come here to hear about from you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you will reward their journey here tonight, oh God, as they drove for many miles to come over here on a Wednesday night in the middle of the week, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll not leave them empty-handed, but you'll give them something to help them, Lord. We just ask, Lord, as we welcome you here tonight, Lord, that you'll bless the reading of your word, Lord, that you'll bless the people, to bless the hearers, Lord, and anoint my lips, Lord God, to speak your truth. We just ask this in your name. Amen. So in Revelation 4, it says, after this I looked, and of course we know that this is after all the things of the church, seven church ages, and all of those things have been talked about that John saw, that God showed him. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
Amen.
And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone.
Amen.
And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. You may be seated. The Lord has his blessing for the reading of the word. You know, sometimes you a scripture will strike and you just it'll just preach, but tonight I just want to take just some time to just talk about the scripture here that we're reading, and just let's just meditate on some of these things that you know, I was just kind of doing some research on Patmos and looking how I was talking to my wife on the way over here that, you know, you think about John on that island of Patmos all by himself, and they probably didn't send him over a little ship every day with a nice spaghetti dinner or something. He was probably having to scrounge around and fish some food out of the ocean and doing all that. So, you know, so sometimes God will put you in a little spot where he can, you know, get you alone with him and get you to really in a position where you can start meditating on the Lord. And, you know, today you go to Patmos and it's a nice vacation spot. It's got beautiful weather, beautiful beaches, nice water that's just clear as anything. But, you know, John was in that situation where he was all alone. God got him into a place where he could show him these things, show him the like the whole film strip, like we were looking at the last time I spoke, the whole film strip of what was going to take place. Oh, you think about what a privilege that was for John to see the grand preview of all the things that were going to unfold down the seven church ages and how everything was going to wind up and how the mighty conqueror was going to just finish everything off. And he said, after this, I looked up and behold, a door was opened into heaven. You know, if that door is Christ and you go through the door by a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you think now before us all sitting here today in church is a door. It's up to you whether you want to go through it or not. It's up to you. I just so appreciated that message that Brother Duff brought this about how that you got a choice. Everybody's got a choice. And sometimes we don't like to hear that you got a choice. Even one time, I think I preached along those lines at a church one time. And, you know, you start preaching about how that you got a choice, and just people don't like that. And you look over and you see the pastor just looking at the wall. That's usually a bad sign when the pastor's looking at the wall. But, you know, I sometimes get a little encouragement when somebody don't like it. And I started preaching along about how you got to open up the door. Didn't Brother Brown preach the doors and door and all those things? And he started turning his head away from the wall after a while. Sometimes, you know, if we'll just be patient with one another. That's why God had to send a prophet, because to get us out of our carnality, of the way that our mind, that we think we know how things work, and then God sends us his word to transform our mind, to look at things different. You start thinking, well, it's not possible. It's not possible for me to get a blessing. It's not, God don't love me anymore. And then you look in the word and it begins to change the way you think, that there's some promises that I can lay claim to. And a door was opened up in heaven. Now, it's the first voice which I heard, John said, the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Now, John heard a voice calling, come up here, come on up here. I'm going to show you. Now, Brother Ram said it was clear and distinct. Now, isn't that the way that the voice of God is to you? God don't send, when he sends a message, it's not a bunch of confusion. Isn't that one of the great benefits of the teaching of the gospel? I remember when I first, when I was young, I'd go to churches, and seems like a lot of ministers, they would preach in a very vague way where you couldn't quite pin things down. That used to aggravate me. I'd be sitting in church. I want to know what you believe. They could preach around the doctrine of a seed. And you know what? And I want you to like tell, when I come to church, I want to know what the preacher believes. I don't want to leave wondering what is being taught, wondering whether somebody believes this or that. I want to know. I want to have some clarity. God is not a God of confusion. That's what Babylon is. The Tower of Babel was a place of confusion where they all left speaking different languages and they didn't know what was up or what was down. But I believe that God has given us a message where we can have clarity and know what we believe. And that's what this trumpet was, clear and distinct. And John knew that it was the same voice that spoke to him here on earth. I thank God that you can recognize that voice. Oh, maybe look back in your life to this afternoon and think. Remember the first time that you heard that voice calling you. And I'm not even so much talking about the preacher preaching now, but you know that you can sit in church and the preacher will be preaching away. But then one time something begins to strike at you and you start, oh, it's God calling you. You got to do something. You got to do something. You need to believe God's calling you. That voice begins to speak to you to tell you this sermon is for you. That I see you in your position, in your predicament. I see you where you are. When God speaks to you like that, you know, that ain't the preacher. You know, that's you. If you can look back in your life and remember when you first heard God calling you, that it was God calling you, and God calling you all along, and his voice speaking to you and calling you and changing you and changing you. And that's what I hear at the end of the seven church ages. John heard that voice, the same voice that called him at the beginning of his journey, the same voice that walked with him on the shores of Galilee, that same voice that he had heard over and over again, that same voice was now calling him, come on up here. And I want to declare to you tonight that one day that voice is going to call you up to come up high, to call you to a body change. You know it's going to have to speak to you before your body's changed. The voice is going to have to speak. What will it speak that you know that you can? It will speak to you a voice of confidence that you can look back in your life and see how God has changed you and brought you from a new birth up the stature of a perfect man to a place of adoption where God could open up the seals to you and reveal to you that your body can be changed. And God will speak to you and you will not have a shadow of a doubt because it will be clear and distinct. Oh, that's what God is calling us to, a place where you know, not any kind of confusion, but you know. And Brother Ram said he was in the candlestick speaking from them to his church. The voice was the voice of Christ. Then when the church age had ceased, he left the earth and moved up into the heavens, and he called his redeemed up with him. Oh, to think now, that voice is in the earth, and the voice called him up. Come on up here. And where that voice is, that's where you're going, because you're identified with the voice. Oh, to think that your revelation, the revelation of that door that you're calling to, the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you, the revelation is what is going to take you out of here. Oh, you see, that's why we should both be so enthused about coming to church. We should be so excited to come to church because the revelation is what is changing you. The revelation is what is going to take you out of here. The revelation is what's going to change your body. The revelation. And Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus said, then shall two's going to be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. You know, that's what a rapture is. We think so many times that we're like, we're struggling and we're like, I got to go in the rapture. I'm going to make it happen. I got to be born again. I'm going to make it happen. I need to be delivered of this problem in my life. I'm going to make it happen. But that's not how it works at all, is it? The Holy Ghost, you yield yourself to Him and He come and takes your life. He come and takes you and claims you and changes you from the way that you were to the way that matches the thought of you before the foundation of the world. God is claiming you by His word. And you see, that's what happens when you're when the church is going to be raptured. He will come and take you and take you with it. That voice is going to take you out of here. It's not that you're going to jump up on a ledge and jump real high or something. It's not that you're going to work something up within yourself and say, if I can just believe real good, if I can just be real good, then I'm going to be gone. No, it's the word is doing the work in your life. The word is going to come and claim you and take you out of here. All we got to do is just eat and eat and eat. It's just as simple as that. If we can just yield ourselves to the word, if we can yield ourselves to that voice that's been speaking to you from the day that you were born again, that voice that's been speaking to you as you've been climbing one step, putting one step in front of the other, that voice that's been speaking to you all along, that voice is going to catch you and take you out of here. Oh, that voice is the revelation of Jesus Christ to you, because it's His deity in you living out. It's His deity, God Himself living in you. Like Paul said, the life that I live, I don't live by myself, by my own natural genes, by the life of my mother and father anymore. But the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's His faith in me, His life in me, His love in me. It's Him doing it, not anything that I do myself. Oh, what a blessing it is to know here tonight that you're not going to go by your own works. It's not going to be, you're not going to go by something that you do of your own self, by anything of your own makeup, but you'll go by your revelation of God's word. Brother Evan said the same voice that said to John, come up, is the same voice that'll summons the church someday. The same voice that summoned John to come up is the same voice that summoned dead Lazarus out of the grave. Oh, that's how powerful that voice is. That voice spoke and it took Lazarus out of the grave. Lazarus couldn't help but come out. If he'd been laying in there when that voice spoke, it wasn't up to Lazarus's will anymore. If Lazarus didn't want to come back, sorry, the voice spoke and it's going to claim you and bring you up out of the ground. And that's what the voice is going to speak. When the voice is spoken through a living bride, the son of the man, and a man of this last day, the dead in Christ can't help but come from the ground, because the word of God is made manifest again in the people, and you can't keep it from happening because the word is made real. Oh, Brother Bram said it's the same thing tonight when a clear sounding voice says, sin and repent, I'll give you eternal life. Oh, to think about that. It's the same thing tonight if you yield yourself to that voice speaking. Oh, if you might be living in sin, but if you'll yield yourself to that voice, you'll come forth just like Lazarus did from the grave. You'll come forth from your dead sins. You'll come forth from your predicament. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham was reading, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the summons. What trump did John hear? That voice like a trump. And 1 Thessalonians, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, we get so confused about what that scripture's speaking of. It's speaking of that God would send a message, and there's going to be some people that are going to catch that message, and that will be the very voice of God living in that age. And then their revelation will be that, God will call them up by the same revelation of the word that they've heard, and they'll hear that trump, and that same revelation that came from the shout, the message delivered to them, is what is going to take them to the skies. That same revelation is going to call the dead from the ground. That same revelation speaking through them is going to call the dead from the ground, and then they're going to go up to the skies. Oh, what a message we've heard. I hope tonight that this doesn't bore you, because surely the bride is going to be entertained by the word. This is life to the bride. This is more than McDonald's, or more than Chick-fil-A, or more than a good spaghetti dinner. This is the thing that's going to change us. That's why he said it's the same thing tonight when a clear sounding voice says, sinner, repent. The same thing tonight. When the Bible comes, the word of God, the words of God, every word of God is a trumpet. Every sound of the word is a trumpet, the gospel trumpet. And when it sounds, it's the truth. When it said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, nothing uncertain about that. He's the same. Aren't you thankful for a gospel that God sent to us in clarity? That when it says he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you can hang everything on that. You can hang your life and your soul on that. Trusting God that when God made a promise, he is going to bring it to pass. Oh, you see, what scripture is given to us to build up our confidence in the one that we love and serve, to build up our confidence in him, to know that if he said it, he is going to bring it to pass. When you hear God's voice speaking to you and his voice says something to you, you can have confidence that it is true. And when God gives you a promise, you can hang everything on it, knowing that it is true. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 5, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come to the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If you hear that voice and believe it and continue in faith believing that voice, you've passed from death to life. In John chapter 6, he said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And that's a promise that we have, a promise that voice spoke and gave us that promise. And if we'll believe it, it will have an effect in our life. And Brother Branham said, I heard it sound in my poor Irish heart one day, that voice. Me, a little old sinner. How could it ever do for me? But I believed it was a certain sound. I accepted it. I am a witness that it's true. Amen. That voice. What is he a witness that is true? That voice, that same voice that John heard, that the same voice that you've heard your whole life. Yeah. Brother Ram said, we'll say this, oh, to think that you as the bride are identified with that voice. Amen. That voice spoke from the candlesticks. Mm-hmm. And when that voice moves up, you move up. When that voice goes up and calls you up, you got to go with it. Because you are so identified with that voice. And Brother Bram said, these things that we're speaking, what we're trying to do is settle your faith. That when God says anything, it's got to happen. It just simply won't fail. Oh, to think that the gospel could be so simple. That when that still small voice speaks and tells you something, to just believe it, that it's going to happen. That's the greatest thing in the world, when the doctor tells you something that you're sick and it's impossible. But then that still small voice speaks and says you're healed. Amen. When you hear preachers say, well, if you didn't come from the right lineage, I'm sorry, you just can't be saved. You just can't receive it. Or I'm sorry if your mother and father wasn't married or whatever, all these different things that I'm sorry. But then you hear that still small voice speak and say all things are possible to them that believe. You hear that still small voice speak to you that echoes back the truth of God's word. And that's what we're speaking tonight. Like Brother Brown was saying, these things that we're speaking, what we're trying to do is settle your faith.
faith. We're not coming to church just for some vain gathering, but that your faith might be settled and grounded. That's what the teaching is, to stabilize you in your faith, to stabilize you so that you know what you believe. That when God says something, it's got to happen. It just simply won't fail. Oh, you look back in the Bible, and one time Abraham heard that voice. God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham living in the up there in the Fertile Crescent amongst all those heathens, the idol worshipers, and one day he heard God speak to him. God told Abraham, he heard that voice. God told him, get out of that country and turn around and follow me. And it might have been a loud voice. It might just have been a little still, small, like you need to, like maybe you're sitting in church right now and you hear that still, small voice speak to you. You're not right. You need to change. Something in your life has to change. And that might have been all it was to Abraham. Something speaking to him. You got to change direction. You can't stay down here in sin with all these idol worshipers. Something's got to give. It's time to get up and get to moving. And it was good enough for Abraham to get up and pack his camels and go down to where God told him. And if it was good enough for Abraham, it's good enough for you tonight. If you're living in sin and you know you ain't where you ought to be, then it's time to get up and pack the camels, water the camels, and let them take you to God's word. It's time to get up and get to moving. Follow God's voice. God told Abraham, I'll make you a father of nations. And he waited 25 years. He waited and waited and waited. And when it looked like it was getting worse, his faith got stronger. Why? Because he heard the voice of God speak to him. And when you've heard the voice of God, it doesn't matter how many people make fun of you. It doesn't matter how many preachers preaching it. What you believe, it doesn't matter to you, because you've heard something that trumps it all. You've heard from the voice of God. That's why the greatest thing that a believer can ever have is a revelation from God. A revelation trumps anything that anybody tells you against God's word. A revelation is the thing that will hold you. Brother, I said, that's what I'm trying to say to you. When we stand here in a healing service, you say, I'm sick. That's no doubt. You are sick. But what? God keeps his promise. The only thing he asks you to do is believe that. Hold to it, just like Abraham did. Oh, if we could just hold to what God said like Abraham did. If we could hold to it like Enoch did. If we could hold to it like Abel did. When God told Abel the right approach back to God, and he held on to it despite all his brother laughing at him in the face and yelling at him and knocking him upside the head with a rock. It doesn't matter what the world says. When God speaks to you, God will carry you through. If we'll just believe his voice, believe that voice, that his voice will have an effect in your life. His voice is what's going to take you out of here. And the voice of God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad tonight that we're not just following the voice of a man? Oh, see, this ain't some cult that we're following. We're not following like a denomination where they have a board of people that are coming up with all these things that we believe this and the people over there are wrong. We're following the voice of God that gives the correct interpretation of the scriptures that have been laying there in a mystery for all these years. Just like this scripture that I'm reading here in Revelation chapter 4. It's been hidden for all. What was that door? What was that voice? Why did it sound like a trumpet? What was the 24 elders? What was it? Why was the rainbow around about the throne like an emerald? What did those things signify? What were the seven churches? What were the seven spirits before God? What did all those things mean? And nobody down through the ages had an answer until God sent us a prophet that would speak not his own words, but that would speak his words through him, where he would come up and preach and say, well, I was about to make a horrible mistake, but God came on the scene and spoke through him and used his lips to give us a message that without error, so that we can know the true interpretation of the word. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad tonight that God gave us a promise? Because, you know, if we're following the voice of a man might get up behind the pulpit and say, give me all your money. Give me all your, like I was telling my wife, I got to watching this documentary about televangelists, and boy, that stirred me up.
Because how they will say, they'll get up and they'll say, if you give a plant a seed, if just send in a little widow woman or something that ain't got nothing, a little starving family that ain't got nothing, if you just plant this seed of $1,000, and God will surely bless you. And they make it all about money. Make it, if you can just send me all. But see, we're not following the voice of a man. We're following the voice of a God. Amen. Some man would say, well, if you obey what I say, even if it's unscriptural, just come out with some ideas. Like, that's why denomination is wrong, because it could be wrong, but because of that denominational system, you got to look to that denomination as your source of truth instead of the word. Or some man would say, give me your allegiance, bow down to my ideas, like Nebuchadnezzar when he erected that idol, that image of gold. Bow down to my ideas. The three Hebrew children wouldn't bow down to it. Aren't you glad that you didn't come forced? Aren't you glad that you aren't forced? Babylon tried to force, they forced them to bow down to Daniel, to that image. St. Augustine forced them to bow down to the Roman ideas, or else they would be dead. But you come to Christ because you hear his voice, not because you're forced to do it, not because somebody beat you over the head to do it, but because the voice of God is what drew you to it. Your heart draws you. John chapter 10, it says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. His sheep know his voice. And tonight his voice is calling. His voice is still telling the truth. It's been telling the truth for down through seven church ages. It's been telling the truth by preachers and ministers and church age messengers preaching the truth. And it was echoing from John and glory when he saw in Revelation chapter 4 that voice calling him up. What? The voice of truth. The voice of clarity. God told Abraham he would have a son. He heard that voice. God told Abel it was blood. He heard that voice. And Abel knew. Not by teaching. Not by just theology. But he knew because he heard the voice of God. God told Noah it was going to rain. And he knew not just because of the theology of the day. And he withstood all the scoffers and the people making fun of him as he preached for 100 years and built that ark. Because he had a revelation. If you have a revelation, it'll stand against everything. And before one drop of rain fell, Enoch was taken home. Why? Because Enoch had a revelation. Enoch was taken home. He was taken home just like how you're going to be taken home. Brother Bram said Enoch was raptured without death. And how did he do it? How was he raptured without death? He just started walking one day. Now look back in your life. That's how Abraham started on his journey. He heard the voice of God and he turned around and he started walking. Enoch just started walking one day and gravitation lost its hold on him. Oh, you think about that. His revelation took him. You know, in one place, Brother Adam said that Enoch didn't want to go. He kissed his wife goodbye. He said he knew it was time to go. He told his wife goodbye, but because he knew he was going to get taken. It was time to leave. It's not by your own efforts, but it's the word that's going to grab a hold of you and take you out of here. And Brother Adam said he found 1 foot a little higher. Y'all, come on now. He found 1 foot a little higher. Oh, that's why I believe this is a positive gospel. Sometimes we get to preaching and thinking that, well, we ain't where we ought to be. You know, we got a long way to go. But look back where you come. Your foot ain't where it used to be. Surely now we can all say that. Even if you've just been born again, your foot ain't where it used to be because you've been called out of sin.
No matter where you are on this, your foot ain't where it used to be. And every step takes you higher and higher and higher. That's why that voice called John, come up higher, because we're going up. We ain't going down. The word is calling us up. And he found one foot a little higher, and the other foot a little higher, and another foot a little higher. And the first thing you know, he said, farewell, world. Oh, isn't that going to be a glad day when we can turn around and say it's been hard, but it's all been worth it. It's been hard, but now I can say, farewell, world. I left the world behind, the life of sin behind when I was born again, and I put one foot in front of the other until I can finally say for good, goodbye, world. I'm done with the world. I'm done with my past. I'm done with that life that I lived, and that all that stuff is gone. Goodbye, world. And he just walked on up into glory. You know, one time Brother Brown, somebody asked him, they said, please explain the mystery of the translation of the bride. And he said, just a change. Because you think he's going to say something great and profound and something mysterious and everything. But he said, why would he say just a change? Because it's always been just a change. Justification to sanctification is just a change. God kicked that unclean spirit out of you and you've been changed. And you packed in the word, and then the Holy Spirit quickened that word that you held, and you've been changed. And you add to your faith virtue, and it's just a change. And you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you're just changing all the time until that final step will be just a change. Just a change. And Brother Brown said that's the same thing that takes place right here. What? The same thing that happened to Enoch. The church was taken up into heaven. And John now is brought up with it as a type of the resurrected. And find out that this same voice that summons him to look back on earth was the same voice that summons him to come up. Oh, it's been the same voice all along. That same voice that spoke to you when you were born again. That same voice is going to call you up. It's that same voice. Brother Bram said, oh, every Christian, the very voice that summons you one day to turn around is the same voice that'll summons you come up. Amen. The voice that said turn around, the same voice said come up. Amen. There, what a summons. What a reality. Clear, distinct, like a trumpet. Turn around, serve me. Come up to where I am. It's the same voice all along. I hope tonight that this gives you some clarity. When you look at Revelation from now, that you read it different. Sometimes we think we want to push it way off where it's something mysterious that's going to take place far off mysterious land in glory or something. Oh, but could it be happening right now? Right now that you're hearing the voice of God, even as you're sitting here listening to the preaching of the gospel, that God's voice is speaking to you, that God's voice is echoing to you. And that same voice that you're hearing right now is the same voice that's going to call you up. One will be taken, the other will be left. Y'all believe in a rapture tonight, don't you? Zach was telling me that he's been kind of talking to somebody at work. I'm not going to share too much, you know, but being sensitive to the situation, but he was just witnessing to somebody at work that lives in this area. And one night he said, well, he was telling him, come on to church. And he said, well, I don't want to come to church. And he said, well, if you don't want to do that, just listen in online. So he did one night, and it happened to be the night Brother Luis was preaching, and Brother Luis said something about the rapture, and that choked him good. Y'all don't believe in the rapture, do you? And he said, you know, the Bible doesn't even use the word rapture anywhere. And of course, Zach, you know, he said, well, it might not say rapture, but the word rapture, what it's talking about is in the Bible. And you know, that is all through the Bible. It says one is going to be taken and one will be left. And it talks about it in 1 Thessalonians that there's the Lord will descend with a shout, and we're going to be called up. We're going to be called up to be with him. So it doesn't use the word rapture. You see how sometimes we can just get hung up on things.
We get hung. We get the way that we think it should be, and we just get that narrow focus. And then the word comes down. The word comes and just it'll. If you let it, it'll tear down the strongholds that you built, and it'll mold you. So now your thinking is like the word says, and the word says that one will be taken, and the other left. How? Because the voice will call you up. You must know. You got to know when God called you. You know, sometimes we just want to like force somebody to believe it. We just want to force somebody into it. But you know, really, you can't do that. That's why the gospel is like fishing. It's like you're casting a net or sowing seed. It's not me that can do it. It's you that's in control of it, because you either open the door or you close it. You're either the good ground that allows the seed to take root, or you're the stony ground or the thorny ground that the thorns will come up. You let the world choke it out, or you just won't let it take root. It won't have any moisture. And so it depends on the ground that's fallen in, not so much me. And all you see when Brother Brown preached this message of Revelation chapter 4, he just hit on how it's an individual affair, that we can't force one another to do it. I almost wish that we could, but we can't. It's something that you got to do. And I'll tell you one thing you can do, though. You can get on your knees and pray for somebody. You know, a lot of times, you know, like we preach so hard sometimes on parents that want to put their kids in a headlock and say, "You're going to do it." But a lot of times it backfires on us. But if you'll just turn them over to God and let God do it, turn them over in every situation. You know, God knows how to handle it now. God knows how to put the squeeze on you. And you know what he does? He can do more than any of us can do in our own human ability. He can speak to a heart. Amen. See, that's what, maybe tonight, even as I'm speaking, I just can't quite get to your heart, but God can. Amen. God can take an old stony heart and soften it up. Soften it up to where the word will begin to have an effect on it. And he can do that beyond any kind of human ability. Oh, you see, it's because it's an individual affair. Everybody in here is going through their own walk, got their own struggles, got their own problems that they're dealing with. And that's something that you've got to work out. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Many times we want to rely on somebody else's experience, but you got to have your own experience. Many times we want to push our experience on somebody else, but you see, it won't work, because you can't help the eagle get out of the egg. You can't. If you help them out, then it'll kill them. But the eagle's got to hatch out on their own. They got to do it their own, because it's an individual affair. You got to have your own experience. You must have your own experience with the voice, hearing that voice call you to freedom. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, let every man prove his own work. Every man has got to prove their own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You prove your own work, and then you can say, praise God. God came on the scene for me, and I believed him of my own accord. You know, sometimes young people know this. When you're going to take out the trash, I'm going to go take out the trash. And just as you're about to lay hands on that trash, your mama says, go take the trash out. And it robs you of your ability to, like, you're going to do it. And then you just got robbed of it. I was going to do it. I was going to do it. And then they come along and they told me, go take it out. And I can't get credit. I'm going to do it on my own. And see, that's how God don't want to just force you into doing it. He wants you to open the door yourself. And then you can say, I believe God. I didn't ride in on the coattails of my mother or father or my pastor, but I believe God. Let every man prove his own work, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now, there's something to think about, that everybody, when you come to Jesus, everybody's got their own cross to bear. You've got your cross to bear, and I have mine. I have to bear mine by myself. And John, Brother Brown, he'd use the example in John chapter 21, when Peter Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Peter and Jesus were walking along the shore, and he looked back, and he sees John, the one, maybe Peter, you know, he was real, almost like a bully, and yeah, before he got converted, and looking back and seeing the one that laid his head on Jesus' breast, and maybe he was like, what about this fellow? Isn't that how we do a lot of times? Yeah. We look over and say, well, what about this fellow over here? Yeah. What's he going to do? Is he ever going to mount anything? But there's a lesson in it. You worry about your own self. Everybody's got their own cross to bear. Everybody's got their own problems in life. Peter said, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee? You follow thou me. You worry about following me. Then when this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die, yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? What is the other person to thee? Every man has to have their own experience, keep their own steps swept. Now you see now, John, he's speaking now of John, who's going to see all these things unfold there on the Isle of Patmos. And we're using that as example here, that Peter was so worried about what God was going to do for John. And God took John and used him in such a special way there on the Isle of Patmos, maybe far beyond anything that maybe Peter could be even have fathomed. While Peter was so concerned about how God was going to use John. And Jesus just told him, Worry about your own self. Everybody lives. It's got a, Brother Bram, he said, everyone lives a private life with God. That's what this voice is calling you up. It's something that really nobody else knows about. Maybe even sometimes you go through places where everybody else in the church will be making fun of you, or picking on you, or you know, people in the church world will be saying hurtful things or whatever, but there's something individual affair between you and God going on that nobody else knows about. Everyone lives a private life with God. It's an individual affair. And Brother Bram would say, things of the Spirit that carries you into places you'd be daresent to even speak of it. Oh, you look at all these people in the Bible that lived, that something happened to them personal. Elijah there in that cave away from everybody else, and he heard that still small voice that got his attention. And all those things going on that nobody else knew about. Moses there guarding the sheep, and then he saw a burning bush and he turned to the side and nobody else was there. But it was something individual to just him. Just him and him alone, that God showed him something supernatural, a supernatural experience between him and God alone and nobody else. Oh, that's that voice talking to you, the voice communing with you and nobody else. Maybe even right now sitting here, that God's speaking to you directly and nobody else knows about it, because there's something individual between you and God. Daniel down there in that lion's den, all alone. Daniel up there praying, all alone. Having a personal experience with God. A personal experience that nobody knows about. Nobody else knows about. Oh, Brother Bram said that the individual of the fair, the things of the Spirit that carries you into places. I wonder tonight, do you remember the last time the Spirit carried you into a place? Was it when you were driving in your car on the way to work? Laying beside your bed at night, staring up the ceiling the other night, maybe when you got into a spot and you didn't even know how to pray, but you just began to call out to God and the Spirit began to utter something and it carried you up into a place where you something supernatural and personal happened to you. Well, God could speak to you personally. Now, if you don't remember tonight when the last time was, maybe tonight you go home and something desperate will begin to take place where you begin to think, well, I need something. If there's a promise that God can speak to me personally, I want a closer walk with you. I want to know you, because you see, we come to church and we're all gathered here together in the pews, sitting here and we're all together. But God wants to talk to you personally. One-on-one,
like Moses in the bush, like Elijah in the still small voice, like Abel, when nobody else had that revelation that God gave to him, the approach that it was blood, and he stood on it. Why? Because he had a personal, intimate relationship with God. Oh, you think upon God's word. You get into a place, your little meditation chamber, whether it's driving to work or in the shower in the morning, you begin to think about God's word, and God will meet you. You find out if God will meet you. God will meet you and carry you up into a spiritual place where you'll know that God is real. That God will come down. God will come down and show you like he showed Isaiah when he showed in the vision. That God will show you like he showed John when he called him up. Jesus telling Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? To see the disciples making a saying of it. Then Jesus reached down and took John and brought him up and let him rehearse the whole thing. See the rehearsal of the coming of the Lord. John seen the church. He seen the end of the church age. He saw the end of the Jews. He saw the second coming. He saw all the order. And where was John when he saw it? Alone on Patmos. Alone. By himself. Nobody else. Nobody but the scorpions and the snakes on Patmos. By himself. That's where God wants to get you. God wants to get you alone with him. To pull you over to the side where he can commune with you. And John went up. The bride is going up. Because we're going higher. So let your expectation be for greater and greater. Oh, that should be our expectation when we come to church. We should never come to church expecting a boring service. Because if you come to church expecting to fall asleep, you're going to fall asleep. If you come to church we're going to church again. But if you come to church expecting for God to speak directly to you, then you'll get what you expect. If you come to church expecting a blessing, then you'll get what you expect. If you come to church expecting greater and greater, greater and greater in the morning when you open up your Bible and have your morning devotion, greater and greater when you lay your head on your pillow at night and you say your final prayer to God, that every day, every footstep, just like Enoch, will be greater and greater. And Brother Ram said, don't never forget this. That God promised great shakings and great mighty works. He said, now write this on your notes that you're writing. Now, if you were to take notes tonight, this would be a good thing to write down. That what man calls mighty and great, God calls foolish. And what man calls foolish, God calls great. Don't forget that, see? Don't forget it. Don't forget that. What all the other churches are preaching would be a great thing is not what God calls great. That'll help you. He said, that'll help you along in the years to come because we're looking for something greater all the time. And we're receiving greater all the time. I don't know, Brother Bob. I don't know. I don't know if we're really receiving something greater. It looks like I look around and see people falling away. Yeah, but there's a little bride, though small in minority, that's getting greater all the time. As the word upon word is heaped up in her life. We're receiving greater all the time, but the peoples of the world don't know it. Neither did they know it in the days of Noah. Neither did they know it in the days of John. I want what the world calls foolish. If the script is flipped like that, I want what the world calls foolish. I want what the world calls nonsense. I want a life of holiness. I want a life where I can live clean and pure for God. I want a holy walk. I want a Holy Ghost. I want more of God. Isn't that your desire tonight? Greater and greater. And every time you see somebody with a through the scripture, through the seven church ages, somebody with a personal revelation of Jesus Christ, the whole world will call them a fanatic. The Catholic Church called Joan of Arc a witch. They called Isaiah a false prophet. They called Jesus Beelzebub. And Stephen told the Jews in Acts chapter 7, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? But remember, what looks big to man is little before God.
Or you think how, you know, you're sitting in a church and it's quiet. Maybe not everybody's, you know, running around screaming and everything. It's just people are just sitting listening. And that could be one of the greatest things, that something is going on, that you're just sitting there and you're opening the door. And maybe you're not running around shouting necessarily, but the door is open, the door of your heart, and you're receiving that word. And you're hearing the voice. Something is taking effect in your life. Brother Bram said, you'll be surprised when we find out. And I'll say that these are my words. We'll be surprised when we find out who among us was great. You'll be surprised one day. When Jesus comes again, Brother Brown said, you'll be surprised that little washwoman back in the alley. Somebody that nobody thought would amount to nothing. But they had a personal revelation just the same. Oh, what am I getting at tonight? It's okay to be a nobody. Sometimes we get in our mind that we got to be a big shot in the church and have a big old role. But sometimes God can work more through somebody that just looks like they're on the sidelines. He said, you'll be surprised that God, that guy that don't say nothing, keeping his secrets to himself and walking around before God humble. You'll be surprised. Oh, won't we be all surprised on that day? Sometimes the people that you think won't amount to nothing, those are the ones that are real jewels in God's eyes. Or maybe tonight, let that be an encouragement to you, that if you think that you don't amount to nothing, if God speaks to you and you open the door, your soul is worth more to him than 10,000 worlds. You got value to him, though you might be a little washwoman on the side of the road. He said, it won't be a surprise to see the bootlegger there. He knows he's going. Sure, won't be a surprise to see the liar, the adulterer, everything there that ain't. But the surprise will be, and the disappointment will be, those who think they were going and then be turned down. Those who said, well, wait a minute. My mother belonged to this church. My father belonged to this church. My grandfather and grandmother. I've been a member there all my life. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I didn't even know you. You'll be surprised. He said, look at the day when Mary and Joseph brought little Jesus there to the temple, and a little old fellow named Simeon come out of nowhere. Nobody knew anything about Simeon. He was somebody that probably everybody going there to offer their sacrifice just kind of kicked over to, ooh, he's looks old and frail. You know, he said, old Simeon, unknown man, no reputation. We don't know nothing of him in the Bible, but the Bible said it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He had heard that voice. Amen. Oh, it's okay. It's okay to be a nobody. Amen. Just be a Christian. Amen. Don't try to be something big. Amen. It's okay. It's okay to be a nobody. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul said, if any man think that he knoweth anything, I use this scripture all the time in my family. I love this scripture. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Whenever you think, well, whoa, look at all that I know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Don't try to be somebody big, but display God's love. I don't want everybody to know how much I know, but I want you to know how much I love God. If you love God, let that be known of you. It's okay to be a nobody. And he said, look at who was John the Baptist, some kind of an odd little fellow, a woodsman out in the woods. But it was revealed to him, a crazy man out from the woods eating grasshoppers and wild honey that everybody would snub their nose at. Come out clothed in animal skins and not even dressed right, probably, you'd say, and stinking and smelling. When's the last time you had a good shower, John the Baptist? Somebody that the denominational world would snub at you. And the little Virgin Mary that nobody in the world would look at and say, well, that's the one who Christ is going to come through. A little woman that nobody knew nothing about. You see, it's okay to be a nobody because they heard the call. It was revealed to them. That's why it's going to be a secret catching away. God's coming to take a bunch of nobodies.
A bunch of little nobodies that you'd think would not make an impact on the world if God took them home. If suddenly they came up, disappeared. John heard a voice call him, come up hither. That voice was the same voice that walked in the seven golden candlesticks. The same one. When you hear that voice of God, when it speaks to you, everything changes. When you hear that still small voice, it's not the minister, not the pastor. You got to hear it preached. That's not what I'm talking about. The word's got to be sown in your heart. But I'm talking about the Spirit of God moving upon your heart and wooing at you and pulling at you and calling you in a way that a man just can't do. Something supernatural happening to you that you hear God speak to you. God is drawing you from that first little tug, on your heart to come up higher. Amen. Oh, I look back in your life. You remember God first tugged you. I remember when he tugged at me. I remember going to special meetings. We used to go up to Murfreesboro every year, and Brother Biscoe would be preaching away. And one year he said, if anybody at the end of the service, he said, if anybody wants the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I didn't know anything about theology. All I knew was I want God. And something was moving in my heart. He said, if you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just stand to your feet right now. And I was after something. I wanted God. And it wasn't his word so much, but it was God wooing on me. And I remember standing out in the parking lot after service, after I stood up at that meeting, standing out, and God, the Spirit of God would come down and move. And you knew that God was real. That's what I'm talking about tonight. It's a personal revelation to you. Something that where you know that God is true. To you. To you. Now, you see, you've seen God move in the life of Brother Dale and the different ministers. And they've got their experience with God. But what about you? What about you? And if you do have an experience with God, if you can look back and remember that, then keep going higher. Because that same voice is going to keep dealing with you your whole life from the beginning to the end. Revelation chapter 4 verse 2, it says, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Why a jasper and a sardine stone? That voice has been dealing you from the beginning to the end. From that first tug until he calls you up higher. And Brother Brandon said, in other words, when you looked at him, he's taken up this scene, this opened up. He said he was in such splendor, such beauty. And he said, every word has a meaning in the Bible. Every person's got a birthstone. Every time that a patriarch was born, he had a birthstone. The first was Reuben, and the last was Benjamin. From the first to the last. From your first little tug to the last going home time. The birthstone of Reuben was jasper. The birthstone of Benjamin was sardine. He was to look upon as Reuben and Benjamin, the first and the last. He that was, which is, and shall come. He was Alpha in the Greek alphabet, Omega in the Greek alphabet. He was the first and the last. He was from Benjamin to Reuben, from Reuben to Benjamin. In other words, he's been there dealing with you the whole time. He's the author of your faith. He's the one that gave you his faith when you were born again. He authored your faith. He gave you his faith, part of his deity. And he's your finisher too. The one that began a good work in you is able to finish it. The one that started it in you, he's your Reuben for your Benjamin. He's the beginning of your journey and the end of your journey, the one that's going to take you home. Brother Brown said, how would you like to see him sitting upon his glory? And he carried me, in Revelation chapter 21, it says, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, a jasper stone. The glory of God is Jesus Christ. Well, do you realize sitting here tonight that you are the glory of God? The glory of God is Jesus Christ. The glory of Jesus Christ is his church. And he was the first. He was the beginning of time. He is the ending of time. He was the first of the patriarchs. He is the last of the patriarchs. He was the spirit that was in the church of Ephesus. He's the spirit in the church of Laodicea. In other words, it's been him the whole time. It was him the whole time down through the seven church ages, through the seven churches. It's been him the whole time through your whole life. It's been him from that first call to the end. He's the first and the last, A to Z. First, last, he that was and shall come, Ruth, an offspring of David, the morning star, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. And there was a rainbow. I'm kind of rushing through some of these things so that we can finish without boring, without wearing you out. I shouldn't say boring because I don't really care if you're bored. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And John looked at that throne and he saw around about it like an emerald. Oh, you think about it now. Now he looked and he saw a rainbow round about that throne, but it wasn't like a rainbow like we think. It was like an emerald. And Brother Bram would say, now, oh, let's meditate on this. You know, Brother Bram would say, science can go so far. They can look, they can step on grass and tell you about the chlorophyll and all that kind of stuff in grass. But one thing they can't tell you about is life. They can probe and tell you all about your body and how your heart pumps and all the vessels in your body. But they can't tell you about life. And he said, this greenish, like an emerald, this greenish, what does green represent? Life. What's John looking at? He's looking at a picture of life, that from God flows a fountain of life, that his life is reflected like an emerald into the seven church ages, a rainbow of colors. His life is projected into you and I, into you and I, so that you would be the glory of Christ. The glory, because his life is in you, his life flowing out. The greenish, what does green represent? Life. Green is the evergreen. Always stays green is life. And Brother Bram would explain, that's why that pillar of fire is like yellowish green. Yellow, the color of the resurrection. Green, the color of life. And he would say it's yellowish green. And he'd go back to Ezekiel and he'd say, John's looking at the same picture that Ezekiel looked at. When Ezekiel in chapter 1 said, I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof is the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst came the likeness of four living creatures. Of course, those four living creatures, let's just be plain. The four living creatures are the power of the Holy Ghost in you. That's what those four living creatures are. And Brother Brown was seeing that color of amber out of the midst of that scene. He's describing that. And Brother Brown would explain amber as yellowish green. But you think, well, amber is yellow. There's green amber. And Brother Branham was explaining it yellowish green. He said, now that you might know that the color of the light that's with the Lord and the Lord's light that follows the Lord and it's as the Lord is amber, yellowish green. That's the same color of the light that's with us today as the scientist has took his picture. Yellowish green, amber. He said, I want you to remember God still exists in the same colors. That God is still here representing himself in the same colors as he anoints his bride with the same life that appeared in the photo over Brother Branham is here today. From the loins upward, fire, amber color, shot with a movie camera, with a color camera. Amber from the loins up, from the loins down, and all around, many colors like as in the rainbow in the sky after a rain. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Holy Spirit still in his power, still in his church in this last days. Oh, when we see that picture of the pillar of fire that's hanging on our wall, we think, the old timers would look at that and say, well, that's God anointing his prophet. But that is a symbol that God is anointing you because you have believed that word. And the anointing, the pillar of fire is the anointing. And that same life that was with Brother Branham is with you. Brother Branham said, and who do you say this is? He said, Lord, we know it's you. It's Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost. And we see the great pillar of fire among us, Lord, the same as they did in the first part of the Bible with Moses. We've seen it in the middle of the Bible when Paul was on his road to Damascus. Now here we see it at the end time again. Three is a confirmation. It's been the message each time. It's the same Lord Jesus made flesh in his people, anointing his word for the bride. That's what John was looking at. That's that scene that John's looking at, which was the same scene that Ezekiel was looking at. I want you to look at that, Brother Bram said, just exactly what Ezekiel saw. The same colors, the same way, and acted the same way, and flushed the same way of the living creatures. What is it? The living creatures represents the living church. The church that's living by the power and resurrection of Christ. Them same amber colors has covered it up from the loins upward, from the loins downward. Those same amber colors of yellowish green is covering you of God's life. Oh, can't we say tonight that he has covered you with his power? The same way that Boaz covered Ruth, he's covered you with his Holy Ghost. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Not the Lord now, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord covering over his church because he is in his church. And this is what John's looking at. Oh, you see, Revelations is a book of symbols. But if you understand the symbols, then it will give you overcoming power. Wow, because it gives you clarity to know when you read the Bible that God has got you covered. John later, and he was on the Isle of Patmos. Brother Bram said about 3 years later, and I'll be closing soon. I'm not going to keep you hostage. About 3 years when he wrote the book, when he come back, an old man in his 90s. In 1 John 1:5-7, he said, God is light. That light. That emerald light. John had an experience. He had seen him. And he knew that he was light. Light. Eternal light. Not cosmic night light, not lamp light, electric light, sunlight, but eternal light. Amen. God is light. Amen. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. That rainbow, when Noah saw the rainbow, it was a covenant. The Bible says, and I will remember my covenant. And Brother Bram said the covenant was life for Noah, that he spared him. But the covenant that God made him with himself was a rainbow. And a covenant then is a token of what? A token that a sacrifice has already been accepted. Oh, God gave us a token to know that God has already paid the price for you. In Genesis chapter 8, when God showed him that rainbow in the sky, in chapter 9 and chapter 8, it said that Noah built an altar unto the Lord. And God saw that sacrifice that Noah made, and he accepted it. And down through the seven church ages, God has been looking back to the sacrifice that he made there on the cross. Brother Brown said, God and his seven-colored rainbow, his covenant that he made, a covenant that through seven church ages, the seven colors, he would save the earth. Where's that seven-colored rainbow coming from? Coming from that emerald, reflecting, breaking off into seven colors, God's life. Going down through the seven church ages, his life coming into you and I. He said this rainbow only horizontally just covers in a bow one half the earth. But when John saw him in this amber color, he surrounded and covered around like a halo. A halo. A halo of amber color. Yeah. It surrounded his being. Was it seven colors? He said one color. Right. One color. Yep. One God over all. Right. Through all. Yep. And in all. Amen. But there are seven church ages. Amen. I got to skip ahead because I don't want to stay here all night. I don't want to stay here all night either, y'all. Yeah. And Brother Anderson, so we see him in the circle bow of green. We see him in the circle bow of green. Amber color. This greenish, what does green represent? Life. And the reason he was surrounded
that he is a covenant-keeping God. He will keep his covenant. You know what? Let's stop on that. Because that's a good note. The musicians can go ahead and come forward. That's something that we could all meditate on as we go home tonight. That God is a covenant-keeping God. All through the book of Hebrews, Paul said in our mind to know that God keeps his promises. He said by two immutable things, God made a promise that God that cannot lie, swore an oath on top of that to prove to us that we can have confidence in what he said. And John is looking at a scene that of a covenant-keeping God, that his voice called us up from the very first tug all the way up to a rapture. That God, that voice has been calling us. That voice has been changing us as we stand to our feet. Changed by a covenant-keeping God that sent his life into us, that took his life and gave it out to us freely. A covenant-keeping God that will keep his covenant. You believe, you love the Lord tonight? Are you thankful that we serve a covenant-keeping God? A God that when he makes a promise, he's able to see it through. All we got to do is believe him. Let's worship the Lord tonight. Let's sing something.
Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Most High.
Now, if you got a need tonight, remember that he's still a covenant-keeping God. And if he made a promise, you can claim that promise tonight. Whatever you have need of, if you've been fighting battles in your mind, then you don't have to leave that way tonight. You can lay them right here at the altar and leave it there. You can go free tonight. If there's something that you need tonight, we'll be glad to pray with you, because we serve a God that keeps his promises.
Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most High. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Run into, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Just run into, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most High. Jesus is the name of the Lord.
Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. Name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. Just run into it as they are saved.
Aren't you glad for a strong tower that you can run to? That you can run to Christ when you need somewhere to run to? And we've got a high priest who's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We've got somebody who cares about us. Thank God for his grace to us. You love the Lord tonight. So listen, we've got to make sure I get these announcements. This Sunday, Brother Samuel Reyes, I about need my glasses, will be here. Regular services, he will be here both services. Thank you. Maybe I need to keep my glasses in my back pocket. And yeah, I was going to say, y'all pray for us. Pray for us tomorrow. We'll be traveling tomorrow morning over to South Carolina and just pray for us in general. This is different. I'm just bearing my soul. We were coming over to church and I got ready and I was like, I'm gonna swing by Esther's room and I like to carry on with her sometimes. You know, she's my little buddy, and then it just hit me. She's not here. So it's a thing. It's different. Yeah, but God is good. I we're just so thankful that she's well positioned. So she's been taught good and she's got a good background. And I tell you, you're not supposed to talk about your family, and brag on, but I just want to brag. She knows the message. And I'm so grateful that she's gone to a church all these years where the word has really been planted in her and she's got a good foundation. And I better stop because I go on and on and start. But God is good, and we just thank him for his mercies. Amen. Well, let's just bow our head and we'll bless you and then be dismissed. Lord, we're so grateful for your many mercies to us, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. Surely everywhere we look, we can see your goodness to us, Lord. Just goodness on every hand, your grace to us. Even in the midst of troubles, we see your goodness. Lord, we just thank you so much for your grace now to us. We pray, Lord, as the saints go their different ways tonight, Lord, that you'll be with them and just give them your grace. Give them traveling mercies, Lord. Be with us tomorrow as we travel, all the different ones that are going to South Carolina, that you'll watch over us all and be with the wedding this weekend. And watch over them, Lord Jesus. Watch over them as they go to their honeymoon and get on that plane and travel, Lord God. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll... Lord, just continue to fulfill your word in our lives, Lord Jesus. And may the saints meditate on what they've heard tonight, Lord, and as they go home and lay in their bed tonight, Lord. These words will continue to echo in their heart. And maybe, Lord, it'll ignite a renewed passion, Lord, to open up, flip open their Bible and flip through the pages and begin to meditate on the things that they've heard tonight. We just ask your blessing, Lord, as on your people as we're dismissed. Amen. God bless you.